to episode 289 of Magic the Amateuring. I'm Maria, one of your hosts.
I'm Megan, another one of your hosts.
And this is a show...
And we are...
Oh.
What?
We are two hosts.
We are two hosts. Both of the show and of the aliens that are actually inhabiting
That's
us.
That's very, very
what?
True. I mean, Megan, look, we've admitted it on this show a number of times.
Well, I don't know. We're not aliens.
No. No.
We're not aliens.
Definitely. Human as they come. We're the most human of any human beings.
We're 100% humans. We do human things.
Just the other day, I put on shoes.
Yes, like humans do.
Like humans do.
The other day, I brushed my hair. Like humans do.
Very normal human activity. I went to something called the bank.
The what?
The bank.
Huh. That sounds very human indeed.
It's got tubes where you put money, which is a totally normal human thing.
What a normal human thing to do.
It's actually, if among the most, among human institutions, putting money into tubes that shoot up into another building is one of the most alien things our culture has.
That's true. Which is funny considering how long that has been happening.
Yeah, it's true.
That's like, you know, 20 years old.
Pneumatic tubes. I mean, yeah. They go back.
I know. I remember thinking they were so cool when I was a kid.
Oh my gosh, I loved them. And to this day, I wish I could climb into the little canister and get shot up in the tube.
You know what? On an alien world, you'd be able to. I mean, what? No.
I miss home.
I miss home.
What I was starting to say is that this is a podcast about Magic the Gathering, a card game.
Yes, it is. It's a thing that humans do.
That's so true. Lots of humans play the game, and hopefully more in the future. If you're one of those humans who plays the game, welcome. This show is for you.
If you're a non-human who plays the game, welcome. This show is for you.
And if you're a human just starting out to learning how to play Magic the Gathering, this show is especially for you. Because our name is Magic the Amateuring. So, you know, there you go.
That's right. It's also for you if you just like it.
Yeah.
You know, magic. Or being human.
On today's show, we're going to talk about a lot of stuff, including we've got some news to share with you because this week has been a week of bombshell magic news. And we are going to talk about bans that happened. We're going to talk about a change to like, what is that noise?
That was like an alarm, you know, an alarm noise.
News alert!
Like, exactly.
Okay, got it. We had bans, we have a change to the set structure, a releasing of sets, masterpieces, we've got stuff coming up at Vegas, GP Vegas is happening this weekend, very exciting,
exciting stuff!
Yes, and I've got some level up stuff for people listening. This show has kind of been a journey of Megan and my... what am I going to say? I'm going to say journey again. Journey learning the game. It's been a journey of our journey learning the game.
Just a small town girl.
Exactly.
Living in a magic world.
So true. And I had
took a PTQ
several...
to the pro tour. Anyway, sorry, you were
saying? That was lovely.
Thank you.
I had several level up moments at a recent PPTQ that I played, and I wanted to talk about them. And there's a pretty sweet deck we saw take the Modern Circuit by storm this past weekend as well. Challenge Breach, playing the card Dubious Challenge, which a lot of people thought would never amount to anything.
And, I mean, arguably, it still doesn't.
But it's cool.
But it's cool.
So we'll talk about that. So, yeah, a show jam-packed with lots of good stuff this week for you. But before we get into it, we've got some people to thank.
Who are we thanking? We're thanking you, first of all. If you are listening to this and you support the show via Patreon, thank you so much. You are making the listening that you're doing possible.
That's right.
Not only by putting this this podcast on and listening to it, but by supporting the work.
Absolutely. You're the member of the Less Than 1% Club, which is the Best Than 1% Club, and we couldn't be happier to have you join our family. You get access to our Discord channel, bonus Patreon content every week, some sweet thank you gifts, and you just get to have a good feeling in your tummy place every time you listen to the show, knowing that you are one of the reasons that it is on the air, on your screen, however you consume the show.
That's right. Backwards while listening to Wizard of Oz. Yeah. While watching Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Everybody does it their own way.
We also have to say thank you to cardkingdom.com/MTAcast. They are the sponsor of the show, and they're a wonderful place to get anything that you need magic related. They've got singles, and they're super nice. If you want to buy stuff from
boosters.
Them, they've got boosters.
They have tokens?
Yeah.
They have all of the you know, they have card sleeves. They have binders. They have all of the things that help you not lose your cards.
Yeah.
And two, keep them in nice working shape.
And you can ask for a Magic the Amateur Ink sticker in your order if you order through them, and they will put one in the order for you. And by the way, did you know this? They have a blog. Card Kingdom has a blog.
They do have a blog, and tons of wonderful people write on it.
Yeah. And I learned this. There's an article about attending your first GP on their blog.
That's right.
Which is like something we talk about a lot on the show and a lot of people have questions about. So I would recommend checking that article out for sure.
Head on over to that blog, yo.
Before we start the show, I also wanted to put a quick shout out to ourselves in here in case you don't listen all the way through. At GP Vegas, if you're going to be there, please come up and give us a high five. We have a Magic the Amateuring wristbands for anybody who comes and says hi. They're the brand new GP Vegas edition. They're pretty cool.
Ooh, yeah. They are. They're very special.
They're very special. And
I've seen them.
We are recording a live episode Thursday at 5 p.m. in the Coverage Arena. And you're going to say, where the heck is that? Well, guess what? I know now. Now I know where it is. It's in Hall C4. And it'll be to miss because it's got about 200 seats of bleachers in it. So you'll be able to find it pretty well. And if you want to see our show.
Come relive high school, but better.
Yeah. Did you love those pep rallies in high school? Well, guess what? We're going back to those days. But you can watch the professor's panel. I think he's got a panel with like Wedge and Aaron Campbell's moderating it and everything before ours.
Yeah.
So you can.
There's tons of great panels going.
Watch them and then stay for our show, because if you leave, we're going to be really insulted. And we're going to have an awesome show for you in Vegas with a bunch of really cool special guests and surprises for the live show, probably prizes as well. We're going to blow out all the stops. That's Thursday at 5 p.m. at Hall C4 in the Coverage Arena. And, of course, we'll be hanging out at the VIP party as well. And you can get into that. You get entry into that if you buy the Diamond Package through Channel Fireball, which gets you, like, a lot of sweet stuff. But we'll have a table there and we'll sign stuff for you. And they're also going to be filming a live episode of Magic TV with an episode of Jeopardy. They're going to be playing Jeopardy there. So it's going to be a pretty sweet party. So VIP party. If you have the Diamond Package, you get invited as well. So GP Vegas, man, there.
Oh. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be nonstop fun. This is not 9 to 5 fun.
Nonstop.
This is not after hours fun. This is it all.
Okay, the VIP party, by the way, 9 p.m. on Friday. I was just looking up the time of it. Ooh. So that's where you can find us on Friday. Yeah, and of course, there's a Command Zone party, 8 p.m. on Thursday. Follow the Command Zone on Twitter for more details on that. We'll probably show up there because that's a pretty cool party. That's like free drafts and stuff. So you don't want to miss that. Wow, okay.
Nice.
I think that's everything, Megan.
Extra, extra, read all about it. What's happening in the world of magic? Well, have we got a loaded extra issue for you today? Because it's more information than your eyes could take in at one reading time.
Oh boy, I'm so excited to read this episode. I mean, read this.
That's correct.
Issue? Old-timey newscaster?
Issue?
Yeah.
Issue. It's called an extra special edition.
That's the word I was looking for. In addition.
Yeah.
Were you up all night typesetting this old-timey newscaster?
I was. In fact, I had me and the several children I employ, because where I come from, there's no child labor laws.
Wow, that's incredible. What's your
Their tiny fingers are great for setting tiny type.
Those tiny fingers can just get in places.
They're so nimble.
What's your headline, old-timey newscaster?
Extra, extra, large sets only, and corsets to return. Extra, extra, Etherworks Marvel gets kicked to the curb.
Yeah,
Those are mostly it.
We had some pretty great magic news this week. I would say positively received by most of the community, which is, you know, not for nothing. Which it doesn't normally happen like that. But a few.
What are you talking about? Everyone is great all the time.
Yeah, a few. When did they enact these first changes? So like, was it a year ago? Something like that.
It was like multiple years ago. You're talking about when they decided to get rid of the corset.
Yeah.
And do just two big sets a year.
Right.
Wasn't that like 2015?
I don't remember. But let's just say.
I think it's been 2 years.
It was, probably something like 2 years ago. They decided to go from three sets telling a story down to two per block. And now they've revisited that again, and Wizards has decided that they're going to just do one. Large sets only, because they thought that the small set was actually what was creating most of their problems. Because normally you go large set, small set. So we've had Kaladesh, Aether Revolt, and we have here Amonkhet, Hour of Devastation. And they're like, maybe that will solve our problem.
Shadows, and Eldritch Blade.
Right, exactly. And now they're like...
And before, when it had been like big, small, they were like, it's the third set that's causing the problem.
Right.
But now they're just like, wait a second. It's just any small set, no matter how many of them there are.
So they're like, well, now we're going to try and do only large sets. So the way that it'll work is three large sets a year plus a core set. And of course, we're not counting things like if they decided to do another conspiracy or something like that, because those would be small.
This is just the straightforward part.
Yeah. So, large sets only. And they said it doesn't necessarily mean that every set will be a whole new world. They might overlap worlds if the story calls for it. They might do more return to kind of world stuff to kind of give their creative team a break from designing, you know, three new worlds a year, which is for them
a lot,
pretty tall order. So starting in the spring of 2018, we will get our first standalone set with, I think, what is it called? I'm gonna look at what it's. I closed the window.
Is it Ixalan, or that's this winter?
Ixalan will still follow the same.
Ixalan will still be big, small.
Yes, I believe
so. That makes sense.
So 28. That's right.
Yeah, because this year we've had Amonkhet Hour, and then we'll get Ixalan, and then small set of whatever Ixalan's small set is. And then in 2018, it'll start with big.
Yeah, so Ixalan's small set right now is called Eggs. We don't know. That's its code name. And then coming up next in spring of 2018 will be Soup, and that will be the first standalone set. And I think we're going to learn this weekend at GP Vegas what Soup is.
What Soup is?
Yeah.
I've never known.
So we're going to probably learn Eggs and Soup. Which just sounds really weird. And then after Soup will be the return of the core set.
Gotcha. So it'll be Eggs, Hour of Devastation, Eggs, Soup, core set.
Yeah. And a really terrible dinner.
Well-rounded meal.
Eggs and soup?
No. Eggs and soup.
No.
That's like, what? That's like a perfect, that's, tell me that's not a perfect.
I mean, maybe for breakfast if I'm not feeling well.
It sounds terrible. Can you imagine eating scrambled eggs and then just like eating some soup?
And here's your soup. Oh, no, thank you. It's just not working for me. So.
No. Although I really like hard boiled eggs.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I've got to get there. I want to get to the place where I like hard boiled eggs. So I just got to work on it, you know?
Yeah. I am now thinking about hard boiled eggs. Anyways, moving on.
Yes. So the reason for this change was why they said small sets didn't work is that you would be drafting your large set and you're having a great time. And then here comes a small set and they're like, okay, so we have to make this draft environment work together, right? And they played around with switching it. So the small set is what you drafted first. And then you drafted more of the small set. You had two of the small set, one of the large set. But still, it was like, wait a second, some of these mechanics overlap and some of them don't play well together. Some of them need some of the bit large sets mechanics in the small set, but that's not how we did it. And so it just made a whole lot of problems in draft. So
Yeah. It was like too many things that you're juggling.
Right. Exactly. So like we missed, for example, making energy, I think, in Aether Revolt as much as we had it in Kaladesh, like that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
they're trying to solve that with large only sets. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Cool. And you know what? I feel like this is something that everybody's always noticed, but it just kind of felt like at the time, like, well, that's what the shape of magic is.
Right.
Is that you have this like this new large set that's like so much fun to draft and it's great. And then the small set comes along and you're like, well, this is a little bit different, but not a lot different. So it's kind of weird. I don't know.
Right. Exactly. And we're just like, well, this is the way it is.
But, yep. Exactly.
But that's the thing about Wizards is that they are pretty open to changing and revising the way that they produce the game pretty openly, yeah. Which I think is really cool. So they're like, well, that didn't exactly work. So now we're going to try this. And yeah. I think for me, I'm pretty happy with the change and I'm excited to get three big new worlds or even, visits to new worlds.
I'm excited to go back to places also right. that I enjoy.
Where do you want to go back to?
Theros. Yeah. God, I love Theros.
Theros is
Gods,
great.
I love Theros.
I hope Lorwyn happens.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That would be really great. Anyway, so yeah, that was kind of the big news of how they're restructuring things, plus the return of core sets, which I wasn't sad to see them go, to be honest with you. I was like, whatever. Goodbye. But it turned out to be a real problem because they wanted to do reprints and they were like, well, we'll just reprint stuff and stick it in the sets that we made. But then they realized that doesn't always work so well because it doesn't always fit thematically with the world that we've built. So core sets, I think, are going to be half new cards, half reprints, and very accessible for new players to be able to play the game. And the draft environments will not be very complicated. So, I mean, we got to take our medicine a little bit with core set because reprints are sometimes necessary, and we gotta play those wind drakes and those hill giants and just be happy with it.
Yeah. Do you know what? Like, there's something nice about core sets.
It's like a palate cleanser.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Well, we'll see that again after soup, as we mentioned. So, corsets will be back. M18.
And I feel like corsets in some ways, like when you don't get returned to worlds, it still like introduces you to stuff that you didn't know beforehand, like Convoke, right?
Right. That's a good point.
Where it's like, I wouldn't know about Convoke if we hadn't had a corset that had Convoke in it.
We're also getting less Gatewatch, so we're going to see less.
Thank goodness.
Oh, so much better. We had so much Chad, so much Gatewatch.
Excuse me, Gideon. Let me show you the way out.
Yeah. I'm quite happy about
that. Here's the door. Help yourself to it.
They told us we're still going to see them. They're going to pop up, but it's just going to be way less, which
you
I don't, think
You can't
weird.
Be done with them entirely forever.
No. They are watching some kind of gate or something.
Yeah. Are they, though? I mean, they've been going a lot of places.
They have. I feel like they better have a baby monitor on the gate to really
on the gate.
Let them know Maybe. Something's up.
I think also this is kind of also what people have been talking about, where they were like, oh, you know, like I miss or we miss getting to know more new planeswalkers.
Yeah, so do I.
Like there haven't been a lot of, like we've barely met new planeswalkers in the last couple of sets. And I agree with that. Like, Chandra's great. Nyss is great. Gideon is who he is.
Uh-huh.
But, like, I still want to see, I want to see more of, like, Tameo is a return, but, like, I want to see more Tameos, and I want to see more, I'm trying to even, there's, like, so few of them, like, more Saheeli Rise and that sort of thing.
Yeah. I love seeing new planeswalkers. It's just so exciting, and it's really an interesting way to make the game deeper and get a bigger chance to connect with players who see something in a planeswalker they really like. So, I'm excited to see some new people. And even more news, guess what? We're not even done. We're not even to the wanted ads.
We're right in the middle of it still.
Ooh. All right. Masterpieces. I think they were going to go with the idea of doing a masterpiece in every set. And now they're like, nah, people are getting burnt out on these. We're only going to do them on very special occasions.
Yes. Which makes sense to me. That's like, okay, I get it.
Totally makes sense.
I get it.
The lands were fantastic. They were beautiful. The inventions were pretty cool. And then we got to this, and they didn't...
I really liked the inventions.
They didn't really have a theme for Amonkhet.
That's true.
Like, it was
But no, they also had the gods and stuff. So I will say, though, that... because we haven't talked about this since we've seen physical invocations now.
Yeah.
I think that they're pretty.
Yeah, they look much better in
like,
person.
I really like them in person. I think that they're actually very pretty. I like them a lot.
It just, you know, something else I would say is that perhaps they should consider only putting a few invocations in the set. Like, there's something like 16 of them or something like that.
There's like quite a few.
And I would, you know, throw out the idea of maybe only doing like 5 or 10 or whatever.
Yeah, just like many fewer. You don't need to do that many.
Yeah, so they're going to only do them, you know, very rarely now moving forward.
Absolutely.
And
which makes sense.
The last bit of news is it either works, Marvel, ban.
That's
ban.
Right. Goodbye, Marvel. Goodbye, Marvel.
This is an 80s music video. Goodbye, Marvel. Yeah, so Marvel's getting the boot. Saw that coming a mile away. It was necessary.
Really? You saw it coming? I didn't know.
Oh, really? Oh, boy. That card is ruining standard.
Was it as much as, I don't know. I feel like maybe vehicles now is going to come back and ruin standard, actually.
Oh, boy. This standard really.
So it's not that I disagree. I do agree. But I just feel like if you looked at that one, people were developing decks that were very good against it.
Yeah.
That being said, I like the point that I think Aaron Forsyth made today online where he's like, if you take something absurdly powerful and then also chuck in like a load of variants, it doesn't make for fun games.
Sure. I see that point. Absolutely.
Which is what it was. It was taking something that is like, it's super busted. And then also, but it's not always busted, it's completely like a coin flip sometimes. That doesn't create an environment that you're going to enjoy.
Yeah, I think there are enough games where somebody says, my opponent played a Marvel on turn 4, spun it and hit an Ulamog, spun it, hit an Ulamog, you know, the next time.
Yeah.
It's just like, what is that?
It's totally not.
A little too unfair for a standard environment, I think.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like, maybe vehicles will now, you know, show up and Gideon will take over again. And, you know, I think the standard environment just has a cornucopia of issues that it's been dealing with. First was the unknown Saheeli Cat thing. Then comes Marvel and potentially now vehicles again. I think we've hit a rough patch, right? And they're trying to correct it. But perhaps there's no real way to correct for everything that has kind of gone wrong in this.
It's sort of like, okay, you know, like when, if you've ever seen like the balancing acts where they have like, you know, a broom or a ladder or whatever thing that they're like balancing on their finger.
Yeah.
And when it's perfectly balanced, it's just like they can just stand there. But like, I feel like as soon as it starts wobbling, like you're just in this, like you never get to stop like running around now to try and like rebalance it.
That's exactly it.
It's like,
And the thing is that Wizards knows this. They know that Standard has kind of we've been putting casts on a lot of body parts of Standard and trying to patch it back together. So what they've decided to do is create a more devoted playtesting group with inside Wizards of the Coast.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
Which is awesome. So we're going to see friend of the show, Melissa DeTora, enter that group. Friend of the show, Andrew Brown, is going to be in this group. And they're going to spend more time testing specifically Standard, Sealed, and Draft for new formats, which is like, thank God. So,
yes.
Really positive change there.
And only good things can come of, I think, them testing more.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I'm really excited for that, and I am excited to see how Standard shapes itself. I suppose Ixalan will be the real big change that we see happening.
I am so excited to hear more about that set.
So am I. Woohoo! And I think we're gonna hear more. There's gonna be preview cards in Vegas, of course. So keep your eyes open for those.
there's going to be, like, I think a ton of like, sweet info release at Vegas.
Yeah. We have a preview card, Megan.
Yeah, we do. It's going to be hitting your eyeballs less than a week from today.
I know.
The 19th.
The 19th.
You have to check our YouTube channel.
Yeah. Speaking of our YouTube channel, we didn't even say that we have a new episode of My Roommate is a Planeswalker out.
You've been waiting for so long.
You have. And here it is, season 2.
And it is here, finally.
Finally. Featuring Xenagos, whatever you want to call him, throwing a sweet party. So check it out, youtube.com/MTAcast. New episodes of My Roommate is a Planeswalker. Planeswalkers is everyday people. Jace has a beard. What more do you want? Leveling up. Hey. You've been with me and Megan on this journey. Megan and I, me and Megan. Megan and me. That's the right way to do it.
The us. You've been with the us on this journey.
The us with this journey since episode 1.
Which is what our alien species calls the collective. What? I mean, we're humans.
Yeah, definitely. We definitely don't at night go put ourselves into a big sea that we refer to as the us as we melt into it and then reform as our human shapeshifter forms in the morning.
Yep.
That does not happen.
No, that certainly does not happen.
You've been with the us since episode 1 and on our journey of becoming better Magic players. And we saw Megan have a really amazing moment a couple episodes ago when she won a PPTQ, which is definitely a milestone right there. Check. And I just want to talk about a couple of things that I've been thinking about in my journey sort of trying to level up my play as well. So, I attended a PPTQ this past weekend, which was actually LCQ, last chance qualifier for a regional PTQ, and it was very large. It was a 70-person PPTQ, so there were something like 7 rounds, which is pretty big from what I'm used to playing in a PPTQ. And we played sealed deck, of course, and the first thing that I noticed about myself was I'm usually terrified of building 3-color decks in sealed. I get really panicky that my mana's not going to work out, or I'm going to, have some kind of color screw when I'm playing my game, something like that. And I usually tend to build a 2-color deck. But I was laying it out, and blue and white were where I had most of my colors.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I could build this deck, but I would have to play things like a few Sacred Cats, which actually wasn't the worst thing because I had Temet in my deck, and I also had an Aven Wind Guide. Yeah. So I was like,
but you know what? Sacred Cats are right.
Maybe I could justify this and build my blue-white deck. But then I looked at my green, and I had some Hooded Brawlers. I had 2 Gifts of Paradise. I had a Colossipede. I had a Cartouche of Strength, that kind of stuff. And I was like,
that's some solid stuff.
You know what? In Sealed, it's all about power, right? So you can build very aggressive decks in Sealed. We've talked about on the show before. But generally, Sealed is going to be whose deck is more powerful and is able to do more powerful things than the opponent and deal with bombs like the Glorybringer they're going to inevitably play on you, right?
So it happens. So a lot of people get glory brought.
What are you going to do about that? And I sat there and I said, you know what? I've got these 2 Gifts of Paradise. I have an Evolving Wilds.
What a card.
And I've got Painted Bluffs. I'm going to do
it. Let's just talk about how great Gifts of Paradise
is. It's so good.
It's great.
You know what?
It gains you 3 life when it comes in. And it ramps you and it color fixes.
It's so good.
I mean, I think it's the type of card that in a lot of other sets you maybe wouldn't like. Or were it missing one of those pieces, you wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
But as it is, it just does a lot. And in this set, I think it does even more.
It really does. You're right. Yeah. And the thing is, you can cast ribbons off of cut to ribbons with it, even if you're not playing black. You can cast Sweltering Suns off of it with no red in your deck, which I did see happen this past weekend. Talk about sideboarding into something they'll never see coming.
Amazing.
Anyway, so I did it. I played 3 colors, and I felt extraordinarily happy with that decision. And I realized that I wasn't afraid. I wasn't afraid of playing it. I was like, this is the correct decision for my pool, and I'm going to go for it. And it paid off immensely. If I hadn't played that green, I don't know what my record would have been, but it would not have been 4-3, which is where I ended up. It would have been worse. I'm very happy about the decision. And that was kind of just a moment I realized, I wasn't scared of this. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was playing, I made the decision to play more thoughtfully in this event than I've played in the past. A lot of times I found myself in a position, if I were in a board stall, or if I just didn't want to do the math, if I was having lazy brain, that I would do what Loading Ready Run calls flunge, which is just attack with everything without doing the math, right? So I said, yeah. Maria.
Oh, it's so tempting to flunge sometimes.
It really is. And I was like, you are not going to do it. You are just simply not going to allow yourself to do it. So yeah. I didn't. And there was a few times this weekend that I was like, I want to do it.
I want to. I feel the itch in my fingers.
But I didn't do it. I held back and I wanted to play more thoughtfully. So what I did is every phase of the game, I asked myself, what is my game plan? What is my opponent's game plan? And knowing both of these things, which is a pretty elementary thing, but a very vital thing to know when you're playing a game. And then I asked myself, if I'm winning, how do I lose this game? And if I'm losing, how do I win it? And that really requires you to know what cards are in your deck. So I made a pretty good effort to memorize my cards before I started playing to know what my outs were. And I think that's really important. That's kind of something that I've never really done. I wanted to say, be able to say to myself, how many four drops do I have and what are they? What specifically are my removal spells? So that way I could play as if I were going to draw something. And this came up actually in a game where I had green and blue mana. And blue ended up being something of a splash in my deck in the end. So I didn't have my main color, which was other main color, which was white. And I played a cartouche of knowledge on my dude before I played my land drop, even though I had a forest in my hand, because I thought, what if I draw my plains? Then I can play my fan bearer. And guess what? That's what happened.
Did you draw it?
I did.
Nice.
And I was like, yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's just like something that I probably wouldn't have done in the past. I would have just played my forest, played my thing, drawn my planes, and been like, God bless America.
Yep.
Why didn't I think of this? So that was...
That's awesome.
That was That was an example of knowing what was in my deck and playing to imagining that I'm going to draw it. I shouldn't be so fatalist and thinking I'm only going to draw crap, because sometimes you draw what you need. There's only 40 cards. Yeah. I mean, there is a chance. So,
and I think that that also speaks to knowing what your plan for the turn is.
Yeah.
Because in that case, you weren't just thinking about what was in your deck, but you're thinking about what did you want to accomplish that turn.
Exactly.
And in that case, one of the things that you wanted to accomplish was playing Fanbearer. And, like, in order to do that, you would have to sequence it such that you gave yourself the opportunity to draw planes and play it.
Right.
Which is super, like, I think is very, very important. And is certainly something that I've tried to start thinking more about.
Something else that was in my mind this weekend was always the question of maintaining my advantage on the board if I'm winning versus pushing more of my advantage, well, if I'm winning. So you never, like, it's always a question of, well, I'm winning this game. Do I play this other flyer so I can win more? Or do I hold it back because I think my opponent might have some kind of removal spell, mass removal that could hit both of them at the same time? And that's just kind of like what I said before, knowing my opponent's game plan and trying to see the game from their point of view. I think as an aggressive player, it's really hard because we get in the mindset of, okay, I'm attacking. Are they dead? Are they dead? Oh no, they're playing big guys. Oh my God, my guys are smaller compared to their guys. But what are they thinking? What they're probably thinking is, oh my God, they've got me to three. Do they have some kind of burn spell? Or do they have a hasty creature? I'm at such low life right now. And that's kind of the instance where you say to yourself, they might be in panic mode. They're not attacking me. So now is a good time to press them on it. And even if I lose one guy or two guys in this combat, I drop them to two or whatever. And they're really going to be in panic mode because they're almost dead. So that was something else I was thinking about. You know, there's no real set in stone answer as to when should you push your advantage versus when should you, you know, kind of hold back and just make sure you don't lose the game. It depends on the game state, but it is something to think about. And I was thinking about that more this past weekend. So there you go. One thing that I'm going to work on, Megan, is pausing after my draw step. I noticed that sometimes I draw my card and then I just play it if it's a land. And I really telegraph the lands in my hand if my hand's horrible, I think. I don't have a good poker face. So this goes back to, I think, a symptom that of of the disease of thinking that we are not as good as the people we're playing against. Our decks aren't as good, absolutely, and we're not right, which is that, I'm just going to lose the game. I've got three lands. Well, guess what good players do, Megan? They don't just, they're not defeated at that point. They still act like their hand is full of great spells, and if they can't win any other way, they attack as if they're holding cards that could win the game. Right? A lot of times, you ask yourself, why did they make that attack? Well, they must have a pump spell, right? Well, maybe they're making that attack and they don't have it just because they have stone nothing in their hand. So, you know, there's also also that aspect of the game too. So I'm going to take more time, pause after my draw step. And if like the only way that I win is if I play as if I've got that, you know, splendid agony in my hand, well, I'm going to play as if I do. And if they call me on it, they call me on it. I was going to lose anyway. But I think that's just another kind of like level up thing that I'm going to work to as well. So I was really happy with how I played this past weekend. I think it was the best I've ever played, even though my result was I didn't make it into the top eight. I had it by one loss. But I was very proud of how much more time and thought I put into my games than I do normally. Yeah. So I just wanted to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I think also not playing your land like right after you draw also gives you more opportunities, like we were talking about just a moment ago, for planning what you want to accomplish with your turn.
Right.
Because if you play it right away, then you're going to miss the opportunities for like the play where you draw planes, you know.
Exactly. I don't know what it was, but I played some of my lands in main phase two this past weekend, which I honestly has been exceedingly rare that I've ever done that because I'm terrified I'm going to miss my land drop. And something in my head just clicked and I started playing them in my second main phase and I was just like, holy crap. Like, I don't know why it took me 5 years to get to this point, but I felt like everything became more clear. The clouds parted and I was just playing better. I don't know.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Anyway, so maybe it'll take you 5 years too out there, listener, but you'll have the moment when you realize
some lessons
that you
take
have
a long time,
have climbed to the next level of the plateau. So yeah. Whew. Magic,
that's
man.
Awesome.
It's a hard game. It's a hard game. But it'll reward you if you keep going for it after long enough, I think. All right, everybody, it's time for a sweet deck moment.
That's right. So this past weekend at on the SCG tour, there was a modern deck that I think it's fair to say nobody saw coming.
No. I just thought we should take a chance, a moment to highlight this deck because it is just a work of art, a work of insane
it
art.
Yes. A really, really crazy art.
So this deck is going by the name Challenge Breach. And if you recognize Breach, that's because it's in decks like Breach Titan, which is a popular modern deck. And this deck is kind of using the card Through the Breach as well, but it does have another win condition, and it uses the much maligned card Dubious Challenge to do so.
That's right. I prefer the deck name Dubious Breach.
Oh, I think that's much better.
I think it casts appropriate aspersions on the deck.
Yeah. Dubious Breach, that's a better name. So Dubious Challenge, if you don't know, says it's a sorcery for 3 and a green. Look at the top 10 cards of your library, exile up to 2 creature cards from among them, then shuffle your library. Target opponent may choose one of the exiled cards and put it onto the battlefield under his or her control, put the rest onto the battlefield under your control. So essentially, you're looking at the top 10, you choose 2, your opponent gets 1, you get 1. So how on earth is this advantageous for you? Well, it works out if you have the card Flicker Wisp, which when it enters the battlefield, you exile another target permanent, return that card to the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of the next end step. So you just get it back.
Yes. It also has a similar Glimmer Point Stag.
Yes.
Which has the same effect.
Whew. So it's running cards like 3 Grizzlebrand, 4 Emrakul, 1 Elish Norn.
Just casual 4 Emrakul. NBD.
Like, what
15,
deck?
15 mana.
What deck runs 4 Emrakul? This is so great.
This one. A Platinum Empyrean.
Oh, nice.
An Elish Norn.
This is...
It's a... Yeah. Oh, it also has a brooding Saurian, one copy of it. At the beginning of each end step, each player gains control of all non-token permanents he or she controls.
Oh, nice.
So it's a similar effect. So the idea is that, you know, like you cast a dubious challenge and then you see, you know, when you flip these cards, you see maybe an Emrakul and a Flicker Wisp. And, you know, your opponent, if they take the Flicker Wisp, well, then you just get Emrakul.
Yeah.
But because of the order that it happens, is they gain control first and then you gain control. So if they take Emrakul, then you can take Flicker Wisp and target the Emrakul.
Right. So
it's pretty cool.
It's like a no-win situation for your opponent if you're able to go off with this combo, which...
Yes.
It's just hilarious. Like,
it's pretty great.
Like, I can only imagine the first time somebody played against this deck, they were like, what is he, dubious challenge?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And then they got really quiet when they realized what was happening.
What was going on. I mean, it's pretty great. And the nice thing about dubious challenge is that, say, because you have to do it on your turn, because it's a sorcery, obviously. So say that you saw two Emrakuls, for instance, you could then, like, you don't have to reveal any, because it says up to two.
Right.
So you can potentially, I mean, then it sucks, you cast a 4-mana spell that did nothing.
But you could also have a Flicker Wisp in your hand, too, or a Glimmer Point Stag, and then you could be like, here you go, you can have the Emrakul.
But I'll take it back.
And I'll just take it back, if you have enough mana. So...
Yeah.
But
and so weird, but so great.
Just really
like you have to really admire, I think.
Yes. Creative deck building. I love it. I remember when Dubious Challenge was previewed by Loading Ready to Run, they're like, "Oh, well, this card is awful." And everybody said, "This card is so awful. What on earth are you going to do with it?" But I think we all knew that one day somebody would do something with it.
One day some brave hero would step forward.
And use and accept that dubious challenge.
Exactly. It is it's pretty great, and I very much appreciate it. And if you look at the rest of the deck, it's basically just trying to, you know, play that dubious challenge as soon as possible with 4 Birds of Paradise and 4 Simian Spirit Guide.
Yeah.
Kind of being the other cards.
I love it.
That you have. It's great.
Megan, if you were gonna play Modern in Vegas, what deck would you be playing?
Ooh, if I were going to play Modern in Vegas, this is a very good question. I think, I think I'd probably try out this As Foretold deck in person.
Yeah,
I really want to play it in person at some point. I'm very much enjoying it.
That's going to be that would be so cool.
It's a lot of fun to play.
If you're reading up on Daily MTG over GP Vegas, you'll be reading Megan's stuff this weekend. So if you're wondering where she is, if she's not out on the show floor, she is typing away, making sure everybody knows what's going on.
You can also check, you can follow at Magic Pro Tour, and I'll be tweeting from the Magic Pro Tour account as well.
Awesome. I have made the decision to go with Boggles. I mean, we all knew I was going to get there, and swearing it up.
I very much appreciated someone on Twitter who was like, Maria not taking Boggles to Vegas is like Andy not taking Woody with him to camp.
Yeah.
I thought that was like a very poignant, poetic, you know.
I agree. It is. That made me think, like, you know what? They're right. They're right. I just have to go with it. And
I agree.
The last league I played, I finished 3-2, which is fine, totally fine. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully it won't crash and burn. I'm going to start out playing the sealed deck thing, but I'm going to have to leave into day one pretty early. So I think I'm just gonna have some fun for a few rounds, and then I'm going to have to go. If my deck's sweet, I'm going to be really mad. but we'll see.
Yeah.
We're going to do a pretty cool preview card event, so keep your eyes open for that. The first day of Limited and the end of Legacy rounds on coverage. Twitch.tv/magic is where you'll be able to see the action from GP Vegas if you're not actually in the hall. Or even if you are, watch it on your phone. You know, whatever.
Just keep up with it.
Just keep up with
it. It's going to be great. Just keep up with it.
And if,
keeping up.
If you want to know where we are at any given time, I don't know, look with your eyeballs. or follow us on Twitter at MTAcast.
Look with your eyes.
Be like, where are you at? Question mark. And then maybe we'll tell you in a timely fashion and you'll be able to find us. And maybe we won't. But I don't know.
Maybe we won't.
Try it.
Maybe 3 hours later, we'll remember to check our phones.
Yeah. Oh, but I'm super excited to meet up with anybody who's at GP Vegas. I really love meeting listeners and viewers of the show. It's really great to know that there are people out there who have a good time with us every week. And then they're real. They're real human beings or aliens in human suits. You know, whatever. Any of
whichever one you are, we're very excited to see you.
It's time for Flavor Text Theater Mad Libs.
Hey, everybody. I've got some Mad Libs that I've written based off of cards from an Amon Ket booster.
Ooh, excellent.
So, I'm gonna have Maria fill these in Mad Lib style. All right, Maria, I need a non-geographic location.
A latrine.
All right.
You know, like Roman style.
Yeah. I need a job.
Ooh. A hungry hippo.
All right. And an adjective.
Crispy.
All right, here we go. So this is our first one. This is Manticore of the Gauntlet. In the training ground known as the Gauntlet, initiates are pushed to practice more destructive techniques. Our new one reads, in the training ground known as the latrine, hungry hippos are pushed to practice more crispy techniques.
The latrine. Like, that sounds like something that a military, they would call, like, I gotta go down and train at the latrine.
All the hungry hippos gotta train at the latrine.
I'm actually in that kind of mode, because I actually went to Alcatraz, and I saw it, and, ooh. Oh boy.
Sweet.
It's pretty spooky.
Yeah.
Did you know they had Al Capone at Alcatraz? And
yes.
By the time,
I once read a novel about it.
Did you really? Oh, that's interesting. I'm fascinated by him as like a historical character. I didn't know this, by the time he was basically like 30 or 33, he was already caught on tax evasion, quote unquote, and in Alcatraz, but he was already starting to go crazy because he had untreated syphilis.
Oh, man.
Isn't that?
Untreated syphilis has sure driven a lot of people crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, brutal.
Yeah. So the book that I read is a young adult novel called, or maybe it's middle. It's more like middle grade. Al Capone Does My Shirts. It's great.
Oh, cool.
Very good. Highly recommend it. Anyways, it's about a kid whose dad takes a job as a guard on Alcatraz.
Oh.
Yeah. So, anyways, it's very good. Read it. Moving on.
Yes.
Okay, I need a noun.
A noun. Disco.
Perfect. Another noun.
Gravy.
Excellent. A verb.
Squirmed. Or squirm.
Yeah. I need a person.
Okay, sure. I'm going to say Pecos Bill.
And I need a noun.
Trickle-down economics.
This one is really good. All right, Manglehorn.
Okay.
Rely too much on your weapons and watch your dreams shatter in your hands. Ronus, god of strength.
Whoa.
Rely too much on your disco and watch your gravy squirm in your hands.
Oh, God.
Pecos Bill, god of trickle-down economics.
We thought it was Reagan.
No, in fact, it is Pecos Bill.
It was Pecos Bill all this time.
God of trickle-down economics.
If that's not the next Planeswalker, I don't know what is.
I don't know what is. I would agree.
They haven't done a Wild West set.
We're adding him to the pantheon of Dick Van Dyke Hell Farmer and now Pecos Bill, god of trickle-down economics.
I think that's a fine addition.
I agree. All right, I need a noun.
Okay, creamed corn.
Another noun.
Mom jeans.
This one is all nouns, so get ready.
Oh, okay.
Another noun.
Chicken soup for the soul.
And one more noun.
Paternity leave. I
don't know. These are great.
Okay.
These are great nouns. Okay. Look. This is Merciless Javelineer.
Okay.
My mind is the calm in the midst of the storm, and my javelin, the lightning.
Ooh, nice.
It is now, my creamed corn is the mom jeans in the midst. Wait. My creamed corn is the calm in the midst of the mom jeans. And my chicken soup for the soul, the paternity leave.
Well, that is some major euphemisms going on there.
Straight poetry. Oh. Straight up poetry.
Really, really is.
All right. I need another noun.
A biscuit.
A job.
Ooh, a job. Janitor.
A place.
The
a non-geographic place.
Sure, sure. Mind palace.
Another noun.
Kittens.
And a book.
Ooh. A book. Let's see. Are you there, God? It's me, Margaret.
Perfect. Okay. Here's a winged shepherd. When the hour of promise arrives, the god Pharaoh will tear down the Hekmah, for its protection will be needed no longer. From The Accounting of Hours.
Wow.
When the hour of biscuit arrives, the janitor will tear down the mind palace, for its kittens will be needed no longer. From Are You There, God? It's me, Margaret.
Yes. When the hour is biscuit, that's basically every hour for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
When the hour of biscuit?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, one more.
Okay.
I need a thing.
A thing?
Yeah.
The thing from the movie The Thing.
Okay. A city.
Detroit.
And a noun. Actually, I want another job.
Oh, another job? Sure.
Yeah.
School council president.
Student council president?
Yeah, student council president.
All right. Desert Ceridon. The endless expanse of desert surrounding Naktamun sometimes yields threats that the gods themselves must answer. Mm. Now, the endless expanse of the thing surrounding Detroit sometimes yields threats that the student council presidents themselves must answer.
Wow, that's a movie.
Poetic, really. Very poetic.
We just made a movie and we weren't even playing movie pitches.
No, we weren't even. But that is truly the student council presidents tackle the thing.
Around Detroit, yeah.
Around Detroit.
I'm perfect. Watching that.
I would watch it 100%.
Keep in mind that these cards that we play Flavor Text Theater with, what was the rare,
that's
by
right.
the way?
Oh, this rare, I couldn't use it because it has no text, because it is Rags to Riches.
Rags to Riches goes in our pile for a Patreon. Yes. Lucky Patreon winner will get access to our sweet, sweet rares at the end of the month and other sweet, sweet prizes as well. That's our episode for this week. Stay tuned, of course, to our Twitter channel at MTAcast, because we're going to be tweeting out all the Vegas stuff that you could possibly tweet out is going to be happening.
Yeah.
We're going to make a vlog in Vegas. We're going to have a live episode, like we said, 5 p.m. on Thursday. Be there, be square. Friday, 9 p.m. is the VIP party if you've got an invite slash you know, really all of Vegas is really a VIP party, I feel like, because you're all VIPs to us. So, you know, keep an ear to the social medias to see all the crazy cool stuff that's going to be all the haps in Vegas town. And remember to quit while you're ahead if you're gambling.
Always good. Always good.
Yeah, and once again, patreon.com/mtacast is the place to go to become a member of our show. And we
thank you from the bottom of our hearts to everyone who supports the show.
And cardkingdom.com. Oh, yes.
Yes.
We cannot do without you.
I was
going to
say that we cannot say thank you enough.
We can't.
Or do it without you. Or do it without you. Neither of those things.
And cardkingdom.com/mtacast, a place to go to get everything magic related. They're a great company, and supporting them supports us, and we support you. You know, cycle of support. As we always say. Support. So see you in Vegas, and if we don't see you in Vegas, see you, you know, on the internet.
Yeah.